Here we go. At Urban Buzz Magazine, in celebration of Black History Month, we are thrilled to honor, salute, make way for the legendary Dionne Warwick.
Hello.
Hello, and just thank you for sharing some time and some talk with Urban Buzz Magazine.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, our pleasure. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to take you back and ask you, what's your earliest memory of singing in front of an audience, and when did you know that this is me, or did you ever not know?
Well, my first time literally singing in front of what you call an audience is actually a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
At my grandfather's church, I was 6 years old, and I sang Jesus Loves Me at his request, and I received my first standing ovation, actually.
A couple of months ago, I was on YouTube, and I discovered what I believe was your television debut in 1962 on TV Gospel Time.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, you got this dazzling soprano. They say that you're with the Temple of Brooklyn Church of God Choir, but I'm not sure if that was the name of it. I know that I recognize Carrie Smith, because I'm of the jazz world. I said, oh, that's Carrie Smith. What do you recall from that? Do you recall much about that on-air debut?
Oh, wow. How long ago that was?
60 years.
It's just...
Well, you know, it was so beautifully surprising to find. It's amazing that after all of this, and I have followed you for my entire life, that there's still so many things I don't know and probably will never know. And that's why there is you, Dionne Warwick. You know it all. Now, this I do want to clear up. I know that you were born into like a musically anointed gospel singing family. Did your professional career begin with the Drink Art Singers or with the group that you and your sister Dee Dee later formed, the Gospelaires?
Actually, I guess you could say it. That is what we knew, what we grew up around,
mm-hmm.
and of course loved and still do. So gospel was my beginning, middle, and end. As far as I'm concerned, it still is very, very important to me.
Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you, I know that I've read you were at the Apollo, I believe, backstage while the Drink Art Singers were on stage, and that's when someone needed background singers. Was that your introduction to being a session singer?
Absolutely was. It was the first time we ever did anything of that nature,
mm-hmm.
and it was done at the Boy Records.
Wow.
For Nappy Brown, and Sam Taylor, who did the Oozahs and Yeah-Yeahs for them. This young man was running frantically right stage at the Apollo doing a gospel program that was being done.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to use any of the gospel singers that were on the show, and of course they couldn't leave the Apollo to run into New York to do the session.
Yeah.
So I was not even out of the okay, we'll do it.
Oh, hey.
Not knowing anything about background singing at that time.
That's, well, I got a list of people that said you did background for Chuck Jackson, Solomon
yeah.
Burke, Edina Washington. Was that so?
Yes, it's true, yes.
Wow. And I know about the Drifters on the Mexican Divorce, which was penned in part by Burt Bacharach, and that's what led to the long time classic collaboration. Was that the beginning of it?
Yes, it was. Absolutely was.
Well,
he approached me after the session and asked if I would be interested in doing demonstration records of songs he'd be writing with a new songwriting partner, Al David. And as long as it didn't interfere with my education, it seemed to be the right thing to do. And it was very, very inspirational for me based on the fact that it also helped keep me in college.
While you were a session singer, were you still appearing with the Gospelaires and attending University of Hartford Hart School of Music at the same time?
Yes, I was.
That is some work ethic there. Now, I'm looking at the school, and I read a little bit about it, so I'm guessing that the standard curriculum also included music theory and other creative arts?
Absolutely. We of course did the 3 hours, you know, that was primary part of education, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yes, yes, yes.
Along with the fact that we were all there for musical reasons, all the musical aspects were studied, yes.
It's fantastic because, again, only this week I discovered an outtake from your Dion Sold Out, that's S-O-U-L-E-D, Sold Out in 1969 television special. And I'm watching you effortlessly execute this back arabesque turn. You studied dance, correct, at some point?
Yes, I did. I studied ballet, as a matter of fact. I was on point for 30 years, and unfortunately, I attended in my point foot, so it left my toes and traveled all the way up to my toes.
Yeah, but Grace is still with you all over from head to toe. Grace is still with you. Now, I've also been lucky enough to catch the All Star Jazz television special you hosted back in 77. You know, you had Joe Williams, Dizzy Gillespie, Count Basie, Max Roach, Herbie Hancock, just incredible. And I'm going to make a segue back to the schooling because this is my own personal question, just a thought. Have you ever had plans to record with your alumni from University of Hartford, Houston Person, tenor saxophonist?
Houston, you know, a wonderful saxophone.
Yep.
Such a nice guy.
Yes.
You know, I've never thought about recording with him.
Oh, he loves vocalists. It would be beautiful. You guys would just be wonderful.
I totally agree.
Trust me, I have many Dionne Warwick thoughts. I've been producing you for the past however old I am. So put with me. All right, but I want to ask this question. It is the journey. Like so many of our legendary artists have transitioned over the past few years. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to share some of your memories of some mentors and friends, three in particular. Sidney Poitier.
Oh, wow.
Diane Carroll and Nancy Wilson.
Oh, yes. Well, that was one of my pinnacle buddies. I miss her terribly. Nancy and I would talk at least twice a week.
I could tell. And Diane Carroll, I remember, I think I saw you both on the History Makers long ago. Yeah. And I know that I read you went to see her show with some sort of legal pad, and you took notes.
I sure did. I was in class.
There you go. That is class. Watching you being in your presence, that's class. This is my class right here today. Thank you, teacher.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, you have so many classic hits in your catalog. If I start naming them all, we'll be into the next day. I just want to name a few. Don't Make Me Over. Anyone Who Had a Heart. Walk On By. Alfie. I Say a Little Prayer. Theme from the Valley of the Dolls. This Girl's in Love with You. Make It Easy on Yourself. Then Came You. Deja Vu. I'll Never Love This Way Again. How many times can we say goodbye? All the way to That's What Friends Are For and Beyond. And that is just a small sampling of all your solid gold. All that solid gold. Early every Saturday night, I always had solid gold TV reservations for two. That would be for you, Dionne Warwick, and Darcel the Dancer, have to say. No, both equally. And I really do miss the show. I miss television specials and variety shows in general. I mean, there was always such great music of all genres.
Absolutely. And also, it's family time.
And it's family time.
Everybody in the family can watch together.
That's right. We learned. This is where I learned, and I'm in the jazz world now, but this is where I learned standards from. I learned standards from Ed Sullivan, not only the people that were in the Broadway cast. I learned them when you would come on or when Motown artists would come on. And these things become a part of you. I mean, I can definitely go in and pull out almost your entire catalog, and then I could turn around and pull out some Edie Gourmet at the same time. Yes, it's beautiful. Good music is good music.
Yes.
So, yes, that's true. I mean, I believe I'm talking too much here, but I really do hope that somebody establishes a restoration or preservation library for all of our vaulted but not forgotten entertainment treasures.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. There are just too many of our entertainers who have made the transition.
Yes.
Have
yes.
Still should be remembered.
What's the biggest difference between the music industry you came up in and today's contemporary music scene?
The industry is no longer the industry that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Records were very important during my period of time, and now it seems that the internet has taken over that position, where everything is now streamed or everything's on the computer.
Here I go interjecting again, but I really miss the romance of records. And by that, I do mean vinyl and album covers and liner notes that you could actually read. These just wonderful things that I never thought would go away. But as I've read that you said, the pendulum swings both ways. Maybe things will go back.
I believe they will. I think music is too important and too vital to dissipate. People are now, growing in age as well as in feelings and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to hear some wonderful words being said and brought up. I do believe that we're heading in that direction again.
I do. I hope so. I second that motion, as Smokey would say.
Yeah.
Which artists are currently on your playlist?
I listen to my peers. I listen to Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, and Johnny Mathis, and Luther Vandross. These are people that are, as I said earlier, not only singing wonderful melodies, but just saying wonderful words that I want to hear.
Yes.
And it's been very, very encouraging and embracing. So I listen an awful lot to my newfound family of friends in Brazil. I love Brazilian music.
So do I.
And I record it and made a lot to the friends there who are wonderful composers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a variety, a very diverse recordings that I listen to.
I can relate to that. Which recording artists would you suggest aspiring singers explore? Not to imitate, but to stimulate, to motivate, to try to find the possibilities of their own artist within.
Oh, wow. I don't know. That's something that the listening ear has got to decide for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has different ways of listening to music and what their ear decides that they want to hear.
Yes.
Is basically the only answer that I can think of here that makes sense.
Yes. I think that you do know you are a major inspiration for generations of vocalists. There are sites, there are YouTube pages, I know one in particular, that are dedicated simply to you. Dion's Archive, Dion's Discography. These are people that are celebrating you and have learned from you, as so many did. I remember Luther Vandross speaking and about singers. He named people who have unique tones that you cannot imitate. You cannot imitate, you just can't. You hear them and you know that it's them no matter where they are. Your voice is so distinctive that, and this is another true story. Here I am, I'm testifying, but I remember a friend brought home Donna Summer album, and it played the entire way through, and I was listening to it, and it got to the last track, and there was a choir, and I jumped up and I said, "That's Dionne Warwick. I hear Dionne." It was State of Independence. I had no album cover in my hand, nothing. I heard you. You know, you were blending, but I heard you.
Thank goodness. I do have a very thrill that God gave me a distinctive voice and entity. And it was a joy doing that particular session. It was Lionel Richie, it was Michael Jackson. Wow. Goodness. In fact, Quincy Jones, who produced David's called us the Gospel Choir.
Well, you were. It's just wonderful. But I want to talk about some of what I call the turntable hits. As I said, you were with me, my older sister, Diane. Hey, Diane. I'm speaking to Dionne Warwick. At every single album, I know them all. So sometimes, because I was so young, it would not be what was on the radio. It would be, as you said, what caught my ear. I remember the I'll Never Fall in Love Again album. That was your second Grammy win, but I always called that album The Wine is Young. For me, it was always The Wine is Young. And to this day, I love Very Dionne. If checkout time comes out, I have to sit down. I have to sit down. What you were doing is just beyond. It was really just beyond the arrangement, the songs themselves, the arrangements, your vocals, a perfect marriage.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, I say, and I have been saying for years, and will continue to, that is very fortunate. I really was to have met two of whom I feel are still the most prolific songwriters of our time, Jack Black and David. And the fact that I was chosen to bring those beautiful songs to this new year. So we were not in the industry as the triangle marriage that worked. It did,
and I do have to say they were also equally blessed to have met you, because there's no replacement. They're wonderful, wonderful songs, and yes, many other people have sung them, but there is you, and as you said, it is the perfect triangular marriage. Absolutely fantastic. And so just to answer my own question, you are a person I would send someone to listen to. The Promises, Promises album, Whoever You Are, I Love You, just the most incredible Where Is Love I've ever heard. Really wonderful. And another one that I love, I carried it with me for years, is 1972's Dionne album that I call Be Aware. You know, it's just a fantastic album. Your One Less Bell to Answer into If We Only Have Love.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Wonderful song.
Absolutely. Beautiful performances, just beautifully sung. And they stay with you. In My House as well was From Within. And I know it was a compilation of things. But to this day, if I were to reach for my phone or for my MP3 player, MacArthur Park's interlude would be there. It is with me at all times. I thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Just so many life tracks, so many songs that you have sung have been a part of my life as well as so many others. The Windows of the World.
Yes.
So beautiful. It's almost like a prayer to me.
Indeed. You know, I find that most of the songs that Hal David wrote, ooh, those wonderful words, shall we just say, had a very spiritual and propheticness about them.
Yes. That can't be duplicated, just like you.
That's true.
Yep. Yep. The Windows of the World speaks to today just as what the world needs now is love does.
So we did. Yeah. It does.
Well, here at Urban Buzz Magazine, the emphasis is always going to be on the music, but I just want to take some time out to definitely speak to your work as a philanthropist and an activist. It needs to be recognized. You know, you've been a champion of so many humanitarian causes. You've been the Goodwill Ambassador for the UN Food and Agricultural Organization, and you led the music industry in the fight against AIDS.
Yes, I did. You know, we all sat around our kitchen tables and talked about it, and I won't do it. I
just
stopped talking
before doing. Yep, and you picked up the phone and got some wonderful friends involved as well.
They did.
Absolutely.
And they did it willingly. Understanding that we were being a service to our fellow man, and that's exactly what we're offering to do.
Yes. Thank you. And I also want to say you've not been afraid to share your informed wisdom on the power of words, of lyrics, with the younger generations. Recently, that struck me as not being unlike a musical version of the educator Sidney Poitier played in To Sir With Love.
Uh-huh.
I can see the parallel here. So, To Sir With Love, To Lady Dion, With Love and Respect.
That also speaks to what happened to me after my current release, Power in the Name of Jesus. It's a wonderful song written by my son Damon Elliott and Crazy Bone from Bone Serving Army.
Yes.
And there are words in that are just so necessary today. And the words that need to be heard and adhered to.
I was listening to it again this morning, and Urban Buzz Magazine also has an internet gospel program. So I'm sure that the DJ Nigeria, she's actually the owner of the creator of Urban Buzz Magazine, that's definitely going to be on.
Wonderful.
And your son, Damon, is a super producer and songwriter. It's a fantastic thing. And your son, David, can really sing. Yes, he can. So, I do want to ask you about one more thing. I like the plans for the film bio. I know that was that, but there's also the documentary, Dionne Warwick Don't Make Me Over. Do you know when that's going to be out for wide release?
We just consummated the entity that's going to be showing it. And as soon as they have cleared it, everybody
will
know where it's going to be shown, because everybody's been asking me, when are we going to see this thing?
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you, but it should be very, very soon.
Okay, well, whenever the release is, Urban Buzz will be right there to help promote it. Any project that you or your family have, the doors, the lines are always open to you and your family.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're celebrating Black History Month. Urban Buzz Magazine has been proud to present the musically magnificent Dionne Warwick, a true American master. This is not hyperbole. This is history, our history, lived in history, living history, not surviving, but thriving and still inspiring the one and only Dionne Warwick. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my darling. You take good care, okay?
You too. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.